This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Kurt Kavarik, Clean Fuels Alliance America. We'll talk about the renewable fuel standard. First, California Representative Doug LaMalfa.
We're having a heck of a wolf problem in Northeast California. There's tens of thousands of this wolf in the Midwest, upper Midwest, Canada, and like that. Yet they seem to believe that we need to have that same wolf everywhere in the country for it to be considered not endangered. If you want to go see a gray wolf, you can go to Minnesota. But why they have to be hundreds of them in California? I think they have a plan for 900 in California, as well as a crazy idea for 1,700 grizzly bears. We don't have any wildlife left. Beef is becoming a bigger part of their diet. It's found in their scat at a high percentage. That's basically the wolf has adopted the beef, it's what's for dinner motto. So they really need some help.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Kurt Kavarik. Kurt is Vice President Federal Affairs with Clean Fuels Alliance America. Kurt, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, glad to be with you, Tony.
All right. It's happened. We finally get, I believe, 2026 and 2027 RVOs from EPA under the RFS, and I can't think of any more acronyms to throw in quickly here, but let's back up and just, what is it we're talking about?
Sure. What we're talking about here is a proposal from EPA under the Renewable Fuel Standard to promulgate regulations setting forth the blending requirements for all of the categories of biofuels for the years of 2026 and 2027. If you look back a little bit, this actually should have been done for 2026 by last November 1st. The Biden administration chose not to complete the work, so this was kind of left at the doorstep of the incoming Trump administration. So what we have in front of us is the proposal to set volumes for the categories for 2026 and 2027 with a comment period that will take us throughout the summer, and then the expectation that they would finalize this by November 1st.
Okay. In reaction to this, markets have taken off. The soybean oil market absolutely limit higher. And now, just what, weeks ago, there was the rumor that it was going to be a tighter number or less than what the industry was wanting, and we saw the market go limit lower. So, obviously, if you're just looking at the markets, they like this. Would you agree?
100%. But I would add a pretty significant caveat here, and that is, this is probably more complicated and a handful of more novel approaches in this proposal than we've seen in recent memory. So there's a lot of kind of initial knee-jerk reaction. As people read more, understand more, that may continue to be the case, or you may find some things here that undermine that. But at least for right now, the way we look at it is this is very positive for biomass-based diesel, and here's the scenario. We have been asking, a unified ask between Clean Fuels, our members and our producers, the soybean industry, and the petroleum industry with American Petroleum Institute and others. We've been asking for a volume of 5.25 billion gallons for 2026, up from 3.35 billion for this current year. What we knew was our industry produced well over 5 billion gallons. 3.35 was insufficient, and we've had plant idle and plant reduced capacity as a result of that. What we have from EPA today is a little bit more complicated. It's not as straightforward because they've chosen not to put our volume forward in gallons, but they've chosen to put it forward in RINs, another acronym. A RIN is the Renewable Identification Number, that is the credit trading mechanism. So you have to do a little bit of math. EPA tells us that the volume that they're setting is essentially the equivalent of about 5.61 billion gallons based on their estimates. If that's the case, that's an enormous positive step for our industry, our producers, and as you said, we're seeing it in market reaction right now, which is exactly what this administration headlined in terms of what they wanted this program to do, and that is to support U.S. farmers, support U.S. biofuel producers, domestic energy dominance, while adding enormous value to a farmer's bottom line in the rural economy. So we'll continue to evaluate it over the coming days and weeks, ensure that, you know, the parts that we like, we emphasize. The parts that we don't like, we'll share our displeasure with EPA and see if we can improve them. But the way it looks today, it looks very positive.
Okay, Kurt, one of the other things that I picked up from this as I start going through EPA's announcement is something known as a set to rural. And I don't guess I'd seen that before. Set to rural.
Yeah.
What is that, and does that apply to what we're talking about?
It is 100% what we are talking about. And what it is referring to was the a lot of the statutory volumes, meaning the volumes that were set by Congress, expired in 2022. So when they did a three-year proposal in 2023, they called it Set 1. And the reason they call it Set is because it essentially allowed EPA a lot more discretion and leeway to reset the volumes across all the categories. So what they did in 2023 for the 3 years of 23, 24, and 25 was referred to as Set 1. So naturally, Washington and bureaucrats, because they're extraordinarily creative, came up with the name for this one, which is Set 2. I assume that means that when they start proposing volumes for 2028 and beyond, that'll begin to be referred to as Set 3.
Talking with Kurt Kovarik, Clean Fuels Alliance America. It's the Agribusiness Report.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing-fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're gonna love it, and you're gonna love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-923-9018. 800-923-9018. 800-923-9018. That's 800-923-9018.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Kurt Kovarik is Vice President, Federal Affairs, Clean Fuels Alliance America. We're talking about the new RFS numbers from EPA. This is for 26 and 27. You know, in the past, Kurt, I've always thought we're just talking about domestic fuels. But no, we're talking about imports as well. What's happening?
It is in this proposal, it is addressed, and you're exactly right. Under the statute, Congress did not provide any direction as to the eligibility of foreign fuels in the renewable fuel standard. It essentially treated them as if they were domestic fuels for the purpose of this program. What this EPA has chosen to do in this proposal is to essentially provide a preference for U.S. fuel and U.S. feedstocks, and they did this by reducing the credit by half for any fuel that's imported or any feedstock, any fuel that's produced with a feedstock that is not of U.S. origin. So what this essentially means is any finished fuel, in our case, in biomass-based diesel, we've seen enormous volumes of fuel in previous years from Argentina or Singapore or South Korea or a handful of other countries. In the case of ethanol, there might have been cases where we've had Brazilian ethanol coming in. Nothing in this proposal would prevent that fuel from coming in. You would only get half the credit under the program for doing so. So a little bit of an additional incentive for the fuel to be produced here in the United States from feedstocks of U.S. origin.
Okay, I'm glad you said feedstocks of U.S. origin, because also came across something I hadn't heard of yet either. And when we're talking about the RINs, the renewable ID numbers, I had no idea there was something known as an E RIN as well. So for anybody who hasn't heard about that either, what is it, and what might the future hold?
Sure. This is a concept that was pushed under the previous administration, and some proponents of electric vehicles to try to use the renewable fuel standard, which is a liquid fuel program, to somehow incentivize electric vehicles if the electricity is produced also from a biomass. So there was a complicated scheme that the Biden administration proposed. It was never finalized because I think of its complication. But this EPA very clearly said that they are eliminating any consideration of renewable electricity in terms of generating credits under this program, that the RFS was developed to be a biofuels liquid energy program, and their intention is to keep it that way. Our viewpoint is we certainly would agree with that was the intention of the program. Under the previous administration, our comments with respect to an E-RIN or an incentive for electricity was simply that it not be at the detriment of biofuels, that the program was intended to be promoting of biofuels, and that any incentive for E-RINs should be on top of that and not necessarily displacement of. So we're not in conflict with anything this EPA has done on that. We think that this is probably more in line with the original congressional intent when they created the renewable fuel standard back in 2005. So it makes sense. And given this administration's activities around unwinding a lot of what they refer to as the EV mandates, whether it's in states or at the federal level, this is certainly consistent with their viewpoint on that.
Talking with Kirk Kavara, Clean Fuels Alliance America, it's the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Kirk Kavark, Clean Fuels Alliance America. We're talking about new EPA numbers for the RFS. This not the final numbers.
That's exactly right. So this is a proposal, lengthy. EPA will hold a public hearing on July 8th, where stakeholders will have an opportunity to testify for a couple minutes on their priorities. It will be open for public comment for 45 days. That clock starts once it's published in the Federal Register. And EPA then will read those comments. They will be required to respond to them, incorporate improvements as they see fit based on those comments. And then the rule will become final. Their goal, I think, was by November 1st, which sets us up to be back on track, at least for the volumes for 2027. And so it begins the clock again to start setting volumes for 2028 at that point in time. But the goal here is to take the public comment, digest it, and then finalize the rule, hopefully not later than around November 1st.
All right, Kurt, if we want to keep up with Clean Fuels Alliance America, we want to kind of keep up with what's happening around the RFS. Can we do that online? And if so, where?
Absolutely. Cleanfuels.org is our website. We've also got a Twitter handle, Fueling Action. We've also got LinkedIn and other presence. So we're everywhere on social media. We're like the teenagers nowadays. Every platform, we utilize it.
Kirk Kavarik is Vice President, Federal Affairs with Clean Fuels Alliance America. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
It's the Agribusiness Report. California Representative Doug LaMalfa with Secretary of Interior Doug Burgum.
What we need are at least some kind of target for what a limit needs to be on an endangered species and how many wolves are enough in any part of the country or my own district or Northern California. So we'll be engaged on legislation on delisting the gray wolf. We're just asking that your department can be helpful as possible on that too. So do you see any good work the Department of Interior can do to help with the delisting?
I'm losing track. I think you might be the fifth or sixth person today that's got too many wolves.
I'm sorry. I missed the whole thing.
No apologies. I'm just saying every part of the country. I mean, this is, hearing it from Colorado and, I know that Montana, Wyoming, Minnesota, others are feeling the same way now, California. So this is something that we're going to take a look at.
It's the Agribusiness Report.